And welcome back to Awesome Fishing Radio, the second part.
I tell you what, man, I've been ready to go for my 17 day jaunt at Englewood, but I've been sitting here talking to Greg, and I'm so fired up, man. I don't know if I'll sleep tonight. I am so ready to go. And
are you packed up yet?
Oh yeah, everything's
done. I caught him at Sam's last night, man. He got last daggum three chickens and the rotisserie chickens. I went in there looking for chickens, and he goes, "I got them."
Lisa tears that stuff up and throws it in the freezer. You know, we'll carry it with us down there. Mm. Ashley does some cooking, makes some really good stuff. She throws that chicken in. But, yeah, man, I am ready to go. Waxed my boat this weekend.
Oh, really?
Hey, I'll bring mine over tomorrow if you'll go ahead and do it, too.
I don't think I'm going to have time to do that.
We were talking about a dirty boat in the other segment. Maybe I need to bring mine over before you go to Englewood.
Yeah.
Have it ready for the tournament trail.
There you go.
That'll work.
You know, I was noticing when you pulled up here today, you got that Dodge that needs – you need to get it into the shop. It needs a valve job or something. It's just clattering away.
That's all that power trying to get out is what that is, man.
That $4.80 fuel I'm putting in it. Ooh, yeah. No.
I noticed you look like you're the poster children, too, for Power Pole. You like them things?
Oh, man, they're fantastic. Actually, one little story about that. John Oliverio, the owner, is a great friend of mine, and Brian's. We've known him pre-Power Pole, mm-hmm. and he came up with the idea in our fiberglass shop many, many years ago. And we got to see it progress, and it's kind of all of our babies, you know, a little input mm-hmm. from everybody. And that business is really just fired up. Mm-hmm. But we got to run the very first pole. John wanted me and Brian to put one on our boat, and I'll be honest with you, it's kind of, it looks a little funky, you know, because you've never seen anything like it before. I said, yeah, but John, you're a great friend. I'd love to do it. 45 minutes after we had it on, I said, I'll never be without one. Today, I've got two on my boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I heard you were doing that to kind of keep it from pivoting or swiveling.
It's, if the wind's blowing 15 or 20 on the side, you'll get about a 20-degree turn. Mm-hmm. And it won't. You don't anymore. I don't ever have to worry about where my bow is positioned. Mm-hmm. If I want to fish off the bow, mm-hmm. I can stick it in the wind, across the wind. The only difference is, and don't get it out there in a 20-knot wind and think I'm going to stick it sideways, because it will pivot about 20 degrees, which is still, you too, Steve. We're not going to cast sideways very often,
right,
in a wind like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it really eliminates the need for me to say, well, I need to put my pole down because the bow's going to turn. I can put it anywhere, mm-hmm. and which has become very much of an asset for me as a tournament guy. I can stop it where I want to stop it, straight. Mm-hmm. So this, and if you ever had one for 10 minutes on your boat and used it twice, you'd never be without it.
Which one do you like, that short one or the long one?
The XL. And it's the 8-footer. Now, the mm-hmm. short one is the 6-footer, mm-hmm. which is very good. Most people have that on. The 8-footer is becoming very, very popular. I use it a lot. I use it a lot in 6 and 7 feet of water, to be mm-hmm. honest with you. So it's just another added bonus for me.
You know,
I really enjoy it.
Running up and down the road, too, you see so many of them on there. And I watched last Saturday morning. I had a few minutes, and I watched some of the bass stuff. And it's amazing how many of the pro bass guys, I'm sure some of the local guys
Yeah, I've noticed
too,
the bass guys are getting
bass
into
guys
them.
Have got power poles, man.
Well,
they're
got,
black on theirs.
Yeah, well, you can a get little either bit, color. Yeah, they call them freshwater. And John's tried to pronounce white, saltwater, black, you know, but we have a mm-hmm. white, a gray, and a black. So it really, if
what's
if,
the
if
gray muddy water,
it's the same. Yeah.
Just whatever color they're running that.
You're thinking fishing again. We're talking power poles. Yeah, the bass guys, we about 3.5 years ago, we put a big move on those. Me and Brian went out and caught some. We come from bass fishing, and mm-hmm. and actually, we're going to fish some Southern Opens next year on mm-hmm. the BASS side. It'll be good for us to get into something else. So, but we got Gary Klein from California, which Gary's been on tour for mm-hmm. about 1,200 years, and he's a mm-hmm. great guy. And Chris Lane from Lakeland. Mm-hmm. Those exactly. are the two power pole guys that represent power pole out on the Elite series now. Mm-hmm. And it's just taken off. It's blown wide open.
Yeah,
everybody loves it.
Houston
we,
on the
we thought
commercial
about,
now.
Yeah. We thought about getting them in here in the studio and talk with them a little bit. Because, like I said, I don't own one. Steve don't own one. I don't know if I'm going to invest the money into it. But, you know, I got a push pole. Stick it in, you know. But the convenience of what you're – you know, of just, I think you probably got the one, you got a little remote control probably, don't you?
Yeah, we've got remotes.
Yeah. I could see the places that the applications would be perfect.
Catching bait would be nice.
You know, doing my night snook might be a perfect application because I'm always putting an anchor down.
You're probably a little too deep, though, Keelan,
If I had those 8-footers, they might do it.
That's right.
You know? But, you know, the convenience of pulling up to that dock and stick that sucker down, that might be the thing, man.
It'll stop, too, buddy.
About 6 seconds on an 8-footer, and you're down. It's unbelievable. Now, you need to be looking at them. For what you do, need one.
That might be convenient. Are they going to always stay hydraulic, or do you see them ever going into any kind of electric like Lenco?
You know, John has played with that idea, and he's an innovator. He's always looking for better, less moving parts, mechanically inclined. I don't know that we're going to go, or I say we. I feel like it's we. We're so close. I don't know that John's going to go with electric for the noise factor.
That's what I had heard.
Well, the only thing I was thinking was the hydraulics and what they take up in the boat, you know, for the pump mechanism, which is almost like, I guess, the same pump they use for, like, Bennett trim tabs.
The new high-speed pump's different.
It's a little different, yeah. No bigger. The total unit is only 22 pounds.
Yeah.
That's everything.
Yeah. I just look at it as it just takes up more room in the hatch is all I was looking at. But, you know, I imagine old Captain Ike would like to see one in electric. Remember when a buddy of ours over in Tampa, he turned around and got a little hydraulic leak. And he went back there and he went to clean it up. So he grabbed carburetor cleaner and, you know, cleaned it all down into the bottom of the boat. And a few minutes later, looks down in there and he sees a wire burred up. And he thought, I'm going to crimp another terminal on it, put a piece of heat shrink on
it. Here we go.
Boom! Blew his butt. 10 foot out of the boat, burns on his arm, his head. He looked like you dragged him down the road.
I guess he wasn't thinking.
It's just one of those days. Here's your son.
Exactly.
Took his eyebrows off.
I mean, it charred him, man. But he's lucky he lived through it.
That's right.
Seriously, he could have gotten hurt and burned the boat to the trailer, you know. But
he
that wasn't too good.
And it right beside his house, too. Yeah. He could have burned the house down, too. Anyhow, like I said, I need to get him in here and get him to do a show with us and talk with him a little bit and get some ideas. Because I remember back when he was first getting tinkering around with that stuff, too. And Kenny Williams, that was doing that multi-push pole,
right,
which is history now. He was fooling around with him on the, you know, helping him try to market them and all that. Right. But like I said, we need to look a little further into it.
Didn't he sell that, Greg? Didn't somebody actually buy Power Pole, and he still had head of it? But
no, not
at
all.
Shakespeare or somebody bought that.
Nope. He has had Minn Kota made him. He's had several companies make him offers, and John just doesn't see. And he really doesn't need to. I mean, it's John's baby.
He's got to be making a killing now because everybody in the world.
Well,
I'm
sure he does. But John's he's a fair guy, and I think it's a great price and a fair price for
it's
the product.
A great product. So. Mm-hmm. And he's local.
Well, you know.
Exactly, in Brandon.
You know, I just haven't
PowerPole.com.
Yeah, I hadn't fished with a captain yet that really had one on the boat so I could, you know, play with it or check it out. And when I do get a chance to do that, then that'll probably be the time that I say, okay, I'm getting one of those.
They tell me one time and you won't ever be without again. Yep. If you sell a boat, you take it with you.
Yep, or get another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, every time you drop that anchor out and hope it bites and digs up grass and mud, and here we talk about
so,
dirty boats.
So
again,
you aren't going to have aren't going to have any of that slippage that you do with an anchor and all that type stuff, correct?
No, you don't. Okay. You don't. And I'm talking anchoring in 20 knot winds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking putting it down in a 20 knot wind, and it's going to stick you. It's going to hold you. It's not moving up and down, and you're not drifting off. And it's amazing. It really, really is.
I've used them on Pathfinders. And my buddy's got one on his, and then I drove another guy's, and he had one. Man. Well, you know what I liked about that, too, Greg, is that with an anchor, 9 out of 10 times you're going to anchor from the bow.
Right.
And then fish off the back of the boat. Well, this way you can anchor the thing from the back end of the boat, and you can fish off the front just like you were fishing.
Right.
You know what?
Right. So that's pretty cool.
For what I do on nighttime snook, I'm always anchoring from the transom, tying off the anchor on the tower. and then letting them have the bow to fly fish. So right. That's going to probably be the perfect cat's meow for that thing.
Well, and it's not only for the fly gate. It's for every – it's just a scenario. Me and Brian are troll motoring down a flat or poling down a flat, and we see a little group of redfish. We see 15 redfish out there and one of them belly roll, and they're only 30 feet in front of the boat. How many shots do you think you're going
to
get?
If you go and trying to get an anchor or whatever to stick
that's
it.
That's right. And it, especially if the wind or the tide's pushing you toward these fish. Mm-hmm. But in five or six seconds, I drop it and I can
pick. You were talking about noise. Is there any noise to that with the hydraulic? I mean, do you hear anything?
Very little.
Yeah, very, very little.
Okay.
Very little. And as a matter of fact, I told John after we had it on the boat, we fished a few tournaments. I said, I got the test. I said, I'm going to Isla Mirada. I used to go down there 4 or 5 times a year bone fishing. And I said, if it will not spook a bonefish, you've got it. You've got it here. Mm-hmm. And I would just drift or pole out. Now I'm talking 30 feet. I'd get just as quiet as I could, and then I'd put it out. Zzz. And that bonefish never flinched, still tailing or 5 or 6 of them. And I said, you know what? If they can't pick that up, a redfish will never even know it's there. And that's how I tested it anyway.
You know, so, and I'm thinking, if I got one of them on the tower and I'm poling, like you said, and you run across reds or you're going down like we are this weekend and fishing Isla Mirada for the bones, and you see those fish and I'm either trying to stick the push pole in.
That's right.
I got one of those push pole holders on the back of it. I can just snap that push pole in, stick it in, and I'm ready to do whatever I need to do. That's probably pretty convenient.
Without having to run that push pole down.
Well, you got to have the right bottom, too, to stake out like that, Greg. You know, some of them flats down there are pretty hard.
Yeah, I've found sometimes you can't stick. I mean, I even had the point on those daggum G. Loomis poles. It looks like a daggum spike.
You can put hot dogs on it and stick them over a fire. Yeah,
when we do the daggum, the show for Bass Pro every year that we're up there doing the false, was it Spring Classic that we do? And I took one of those bats that we chum with and filled it up with spray foam and shove it up on that push pole because I don't want some little kid walking around and going, thunk.
Leave the push pole home be the thing to do on that.
Well, you know, I ain't showed Greg the new push pole from Mudhole, have I? I've got the first in the world G. Loomis camouflaged push pole.
It's dipped.
Is it mossy oak or what was
mossy
it?
Mossy oak, I think.
Mossy oak.
It's dipped.
Yeah.
They do shotgun
barrels.
Oh, really?
And they dip it in the film and pull it out.
Fishing rods. And Scott over at Mudhole was doing fishing rods, and he's showing us this blank. And I said, Scott, he supplies me with my G. Loomis push poles. I said, Scott, could we do that to one of our G. Loomis push poles? He says, let me call him and see. We got the first original camouflage. And I love the thing. I mean, the only problem is you drop it in the dark off the side of the boat, you'll never find that dude until someone chops it in about 5 pieces.
It's unique.
Yeah.
But his rod blanks in camo are cool.
Yeah.
They do the real seat. They can do every bit of it.
That's amazing. I've never seen it.
Yeah, they turn around and they put it in a tank of water, and this stuff just sucks around it.
It's a film.
Yeah, and
it's just the same process they do on the camo shotguns or rifles or whatever it is, stocks and barrels. Same process.
Hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah,
I've learned something tonight.
It's pretty cool.
But they put it together, and so we take it to all the shows. They got their Mudhole logos all on it and all that. But you know, for the duck hunters, it's perfect. You know, if they want to get into some skinny stuff in their John boats or whatever, they could definitely get
with their mud motors.
Yeah.
Go Devil.
Go Devil.
That's an amazing rig, you know?
Yes,
I saw one of them put one of those dudes on the backside of a beaver tail skiff. You ought to see that dude where he was going in that beaver tail. That was impressive.
Hmm.
So, anyhow, well, I think it's I was fixing to go pay a bill or two, but I guess our engineer said
not
yet.
You got 1 minute.
But, Well, we've touched base with the Sterling boats, the Gulp,
the Power Pole.
When we come back, what are we going to talk about? Who else are you, doing some stuff
I'd love with? To talk about something new, kind of new on the market. It is for redfish, and that's crankbaits.
Okay.
I don't think a lot of emphasis is put on a crankbait for redfish, but it is phenomenal.
We'll talk about that in just a minute.
Andy Thornell Company, outdoor clothing, footwear, and equipment since 1945. Our Orvis Fly Shop is one of the best in Florida, with over 700 fly patterns for saltwater, bass, and panfish. And we have a few hundred trout flies when you head for the mountains. And if you tie your own flies, we stock all of the materials and tools. Waders, vests, and the coolest fishing gadgets, including Boga grips and Calusa cast nets, are in stock. We wear fishing shirts year-round, and we have some of the best prices on Columbia, Ex Officio, and Under Armour shirts, including the new sunproof t-shirts and the buff headgear. And we realize that you cannot play every day, so we have some unexpected surprises, sport coats, dress shirts, and even neckwear for the gentlemen, and the ladies always find their way back to our custom jewelry shop. Andy Thornell Company, downtown Winter Haven, 299-9999, andythornell.com.
Okay, Steve, cast over there at 12 o'clock right there. See the fish?
How
see
them? How far?
Over there about 40 foot. Cast.
I can't see them. I'm not going to cast till
Steve,
I can see them.
Steve, put your Costas on right now, those new 580 lenses. You've got to turn around and have them on where you can see these fish, man, or you're going to blow our day.
There they are. Watch this, Keelan. Here they go.
Man, great hookup, man.
Come see us at Andy Thornell Company, downtown Winter Haven.
Mudhole Custom Tackle is the premier dealer for custom rod building. Whether it's rod blanks or top quality guides, Mudhole has everything you need to build your own rods. But Mudhole Custom Tackle is much more than just a component store. Located in Oviedo, Mudhole Custom Tackle is a complete fishing outfitter. They carry everything from spinning tackle to push poles, from fly fishing gear to tackle boxes. Mudhole has it all. You can check them out at mudhole.com or visit them in their Central Florida showroom in Oviedo. And make sure you tell them you heard about them on Awesome Fishing Radio.
And back to Awesome Fishing Radio. And Captain Steve, I tell you what, we're learning a lot. You know, right before we left there, Greg, you were talking with us about something I ain't never done.
Crankbait redfish. Yeah, a lot of guys haven't. It's kind of amazing to me that we haven't seen more of that.
You know, I think you and your brother were the first that I ever knew that got into spinnerbaits for redfish.
Spinnerbait, yep. Yeah.
Spinnerbait.
Now it seems to be a pretty big market
that's
there.
That's a go-to anymore. It really is. Spinnerbait catch a lot of stuff. You know, it's kind of just like bass fishing, spinnerbait. It kind of catches them when nothing else will. Spinnerbait's a good bait. We use it all. And there's nothing that I probably won't throw if I think I have to catch one. But one thing we've come up with in the last several years, we've been working on this for a couple of years now with Lucky Craft, is designing a new crankbait for redfish. And basically the design, when I say a new, we use some of the bass crankbaits. And we kind of changed them up a little, made them a little thinner. That was the key. Because we have to remember even a 30-inch redfish, his mouth is not very big.
Nah.
So it's all about getting the bait around his lips, not on the outside, because, you know, as hard as they fight and pull, a redfish hooked on the head, you know, if you're not finessing him, more than likely he's going to get the best of you. And we don't do a lot of redfish finessing out there tournament fishing. So these baits were designed a little smaller, no more than about 3 inches. Some of the baits are the BDS ones, BDS twos, threes, and fours that the redfish are eating really, really well. And a lot of places, not necessarily here in Florida. And when we talk about Florida, I got to speak on this a little bit. The fish here are very, very pressured. The toughest tournaments we'll ever fish are the west coast of Florida. And it's not for the fact of seeing fish, it's to try to get them to eat. So over here, it's more of a finesse game. It's spinning rods, 10-pound spider wire, sometimes a 20-pound fluorocarbon leader. And it's a jig head, 8th-ounce jig head on some type of a gulp, and we're making super, super long casts. Or recently it's been a drop shot rig. We've just really been wrecking them on those. But when we get out of the state of Florida, even northeast, Jacksonville, crankbaits are very predominant. From Mobile Bay, Pensacola, even out to Louisiana. But here we go again. Louisiana is not a great testing ground because they eat most everything. So most of the time out there, it's still a single hook bait, easy to get the fish hooked up, easy to get him off. Mobile Bay, Texas, Pensacola, Panama City, crankbaits have really just prevail. You can cover so much water with them. The redfish really crush them. And we've got the terrain in those areas, the riprap, the rocks, the docks, crankbait and docks. And here we go again. It's a reaction bite.
So you're actually getting into different, an altogether different mindset than what most people picture when they talk about you're fishing a redfish tournament. Everybody thinks you're up there poling in a foot of water.
Right.
You guys are actually fishing deeper water.
Well, it's kind of that bass mentality again.
Right.
But it's in these areas, the fish do seem more aggressive. So let's try to feed them more aggressively and get a reaction bite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think redfish are as aggressive or reactionary as a bass ever will be, but I think he's vulnerable to that presentation. And these clam bars that we're fishing out in Mobile Bay, off of Dixie Bar, back out on Dolphin Island, 4 to 10, 12 feet of water.
Hmm.
I mean, people are thinking these redfish are laid up in a foot of water all day long. They don't do it. I mean, there's so many places, so many rigs and wrecks out there in 30 feet of water that the redfish are just, you look down there and it's red. They're just loaded on it.
Hmm.
So you have to think about there are more places than 2 foot of water or less.
Right.
So we're trying to hit different avenues, which most of the tournament guys, including us from time to time, we get the mentality, well, we need to see one and know they're here. And me and Brian are trying to change that up, and that's very hard pre-fishing, not knowing he's there, but we're going to fish it like he is there.
Mm-hmm.
And a crankbait really, really lets us cover a ton of water a long way, and so many, many days we found that little pot of gold. So those crankbaits are very good, and I think the more we can use them around here, the better off they're going to be too.
Hmm. So, well, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I got some places I need to try.
Absolutely. Snook.
This next 2 weeks, you need to go try some. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters is one of the largest tackle stores in the Tampa Bay area with over 6,000 square foot of everything you need for a great day of fishing. Located just a few blocks away from Raymond James Stadium, Tampa Fishing Outfitters is staffed with professional guides to answer all your fishing-related questions.
They also carry the O'Hero line of rods and braided line. The Gold Series of O'Hero rod uses a graphite blank with silicone carbide guides and is a great bargain, starting at just over $50. The Platinum O'Hero rod comes with an IMA graphite blank and uses Fuji guides. And nothing helps a great rod better than a great line. The O'Hero braided line has a 20 to 30% longer casting ratio due to its nanotechnology. Tampa Fishing Outfitters is open Monday through Friday from 10 to 6:30 p.m. and on Saturdays from 9 to 5:30 p.m. Come out and see what quality fishing gear is really like, or give them a call at 813-870-1234. Tell them you heard about them on Awesome Fishing Radio. This is Captain Steve Nichols here of Awesome Fishing Radio, and along with Captain Keelan, our passion is fishing and helping others catch fish.
Captain Steve's right. We want to be on the water with our friends and family, not worrying about how we're going to get our boat there. That's why we rely on Rolls Axles trailers. Simply put, they're the most dependable trailer on the market.
That's because they're the only all-aluminum trailers made. They use only high-quality materials to produce a superior product. In fact, they have a patent on their aluminum springs.
And they're so confident that you'll never have to replace them that they offer a lifetime warranty on the spring. By using a combination of aluminum and stainless parts, Rolls Axle has created the only trailer you'll ever need.
They're located at 702 Hitchcock Street in Plant City, and you can check them out on the web at www.rollsaxle.com.
Or give them a call at 1-888-ROLLS-52. That is 1-888-765-5752. Make sure you told them that you heard about them on Awesome Fishing Radio.
Whether it's shallow water fishing you're after or just a great family time out on the water, Malibu Kayaks make the perfect craft for you. Their 9-foot Mini X is a great all-around fishing kayak with excellent maneuverability for the more serious anglers. The X-Factor model is pure fishing joy. This 14-foot boat is designed for fishing or diving. It has 3 watertight hatches for loads of storage, and it comes outfitted with flush-mounted rod holders and even has room for a live bait tank in the rear. With its sleek profile and dry ride, this kayak has quickly become the official Awesome Fishing Kayak.
It's what we use to reach those skinny water fish you hear everyone talking about. If you want to check out these kayaks, call Action Water Sports at 863 967-4148. They carry a full line of Malibu kayaks and all the accessories to go with them. Tell them Awesome Fishing sent you.
Well, we're back to Awesome Fishing Radio, and Captain Steve, it's been educational.
Yes, it has. We're not through a crankbait yet, are we?
Not if we don't want to be. I can sit here and let's do three or four shows.
That'd be easy to do. Greg, you got a favorite color. I mean, if somebody was just going to go and pick up a Lucky Craft, if they went to Bass Pro or they went to wherever, what would they actually need to go look and find on the shelf?
You know, if I was going to pick out one, in which I'm going to pick out two here, it can be any BDS 1, 2, 3, 4, and Lucky Craft
that designates
has,
different depths?
Yes, it does. Different sizes, different depths. Probably the BDS 2, BDS 3 is probably the most common that I would use. But I use a lot of the little flat-sided crankbaits too. Mm-hmm. You can get carried away. They've got so much product and so much great product. BDS 1s, BDS 2s, BDS 3s. I would pick a gold, or I'd pick a color called a parrot. Mm-hmm. Which is a bright, bright chartreuse and green.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems, and I'm saying these colors because we know gold is very reflective in
right.
dirty water, and the parrot color is very, very visible in dirty water.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I've sight fished with them in Louisiana on clean water, so I know it doesn't really get the best of them. The one thing I think people have to understand and think about more so is water clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, I don't like throwing natural colored. I'm not a match the hatch kind of guy. Let me
mm-hmm.
tell you that
mm-hmm.
without getting into a big story here. I like it to be different. I want them to look in there and see something a little different they haven't seen. I really think it gets their attention. That's me personally as a fisherman, and I've done very well with that attitude, so I'm going to stay with it.
I've seen that with changing colors for snook on mirror lures, you know.
Right.
And the off colors. I mean, Murph showed us that. You know, some of those pugs he's throwing, I looked at one day and I said, what are you throwing that for? He goes, watch. I said, man, they got to either looking at taking it out of the food chain or whatever, because that's the ugliest lure
that's
ever
right.
seen.
Purple ghost,
and,
I think.
Yeah,
is what that thing
and
is.
I sat there and watched them, man. They just chewed the snot out of
yes,
it.
Sir.
You know, I said he did probably two tarpon and a couple, probably four snook off of it. Made me a believer of that ugly thing.
Well, that gold would be hard to go wrong with.
Yeah, for anything, any time of the day, mm-hmm. sunlight, anything. But, you know, we kind of look at that scenario. If our table here at the studio was full of ham sandwiches and there was one big fat roast beef in the middle, mm-hmm. where would your eyes go?
Right.
So, you think about
right.
that. You know?
Exactly.
That's the way I like to look at fishing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, even in my flies, I make a fly that don't strip straight. Everybody thinks a fly has to strip straight,
right.
but you ever seen a shrimp take off and go in a straight line?
Exactly right.
He always darts.
That's right.
So it makes a difference.
I dart too.
One more thing before I go. We kind of touched on this earlier, and I know we only got a couple of minutes here. Berkeley Gulp 4-inch sinking minnow.
Sinking minnow.
Sinking minnow for redfish. My number one go-to, period.
What color?
Have I got to give that away?
Later you will. Later you will.
Watermelon red.
Really?
For redfish.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most unbelievable. It's 4 years strong now with me and Brian. Get Brian in here one day and ask him, what's your most predominant favorite gulp bait? It'll be 4-inch sinking minnow watermelon red on an 1/8 ounce to a 1/4 ounce Bass Assassin jig head, the best jig head ever made. A guy could have a box full of those. And 2 Lucky Craft crankbaits and a power pole on his boat, and he can't go wrong.
And
I'm
some good braided line, and he's
some,
ready to roll.
Some spider wire, here we go. But that, I just wanted to get that little plug in there. It is the most phenomenal redfish bait I've ever used, period.
Sinking minnow.
Sinking 4-inch, not a 5-inch.
Now,
right,
is that close to the swimming minnow, but it's just
no, it's a straight top. Cinco.
Most
people
it's
understand
like a sluggo
cinco.
Type thing.
Well, like, yeah, like a cinco. It's just round.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Are you jigging it?
Yeah,
or just
tickling the bottom with it. Nothing really erratic, just out in the sand holes.
You know, I know someone
bottom.
That used to really swear by bubblegum pink over on the lagoon.
That's right.
You know?
I've heard that too.
So,
I have seen them catch bass on that thing.
Absolutely.
Bubblegum.
Yeah.
Hey, we're getting the key here. I just want to thank you guys for having me in.
Man,
it's been a pleasure.
Appreciate
I
you
hope,
coming.
I hope you get me to come back over here. I've got a few more stories I'd like to tell.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man. It was great having you in. Captain Steve, next best thing to fishing
is talking about fishing.
We'll see y'all next week.
Mm.
Have fun in Englewood.
If there's one thing that's vital for every boater to have, it's a faithful battery. Captain Keeland of Awesome Fishing Radio depends on the folks at Battery USA to keep him hustling after the snook and redfish. Serving the Lakeland area since 1970, Battery USA carries a complete line of marine batteries, from starting batteries to deep cycle trolling batteries. Battery USA has the largest in-stock selection of batteries and electrical equipment supplies in the southeastern United States, and they work to meet the strict requirements of the most demanding boater. Located on Cumbie Road in Lakeland, Battery USA is your one-stop shop for all of your boating electrical needs. Don't forget, tell them Awesome Fishing Radio sent you.
Finally, a magazine published just for anglers who fish the Indian River Lagoon, Coastal Angler Magazine, with columns, news, events, and forums especially designed for the Florida fisherman. You can also check out the Coastal Angler online at CoastalAnglerMagazine.com. The Coastal Magazine for the Florida fisherman. Coastal Angler Magazine. It's also the magazine for Awesome Fishing Radio. Coastal Angler, subscribe today. Just log on to CoastalAnglerMagazine.com.
Tampa Bay Stitching Company is a full-scale custom embroidering company that's ready for today's growing corporate and individual needs. With over 16,000 designs on site, Tampa Bay Stitching Company is conveniently located in the Lakeland Square Mall, and they can create unique custom logos for any person, group, or occasion, including clubs, schools, parties, reunions, sports teams, and the list goes on and on. Partnering with their digitizing companies gives Tampa Bay Stitching Company the leading edge on creating special and specific custom logos for you and your business. Whether it's polo shirts, tees, caps, jackets, sweats, or other apparel, Tampa Bay Stitching Company is the complete source for all of your customized embroidery. Again, they're conveniently located in the Lakeland Square Mall. You can reach Tampa Bay Stitching Company by calling area code 863-859-5266. That's the Tampa Bay Stitching Company for all of your embroidering and customization needs.